This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. It is day one of transfer portal season, and it has not disappointed so far. We were telling you guys all, like the last few weeks, honestly, that Rutgers was primed to have a busy first day in the portal, and that has turned out to be pretty true. We've already had three official announcements of scholarship players today of guys entering the portal. And Antonio Chole, whose news kind of broke last week, but was confirmed today. Derek Simpson, starting point guard for Rutgers Scarlet Knights this past season, and backup big Antoine Woolfolk. We have other news about guys that Rutgers is starting to show interest in or we're connecting some dots on. And we'll kind of talk about the rest of the entry timeline for Rutgers. But first, this podcast presenting sponsor is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans. Are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered.
Pretty unique.
From t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to our website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. I had my Rutgers camper mug this morning. I have my coffee. It's still sitting here dirty, but I believe that's one of the clearance items right now, so there's only a few of them left. If you want to get your cup of coffee and a Rutgers mug each morning, can't recommend it more. We're also brought to you by the Cut app. We've got a great new sponsor. I love betting. Richie loves betting, and I like betting with my friends, betting on really anything, sports games, who could, you know, run the fastest, who can do a mile the fastest. You know, beer miles are fun. Actually, they're not, but
no,
they're not fun. But that's what Cut allows you to do. It's a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. It has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All the payments are on the app, so you don't need Venmo or anything like that to square up. If you use our promo code BELEAVERUTGERS, that's B-L-E-A-V, Rutgers, you get a 10% welcome bonus on your first deposit, so don't forget to use that code. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. All right, so we covered Antonio Chole's departure last week.
Yes.
But today, the first new departure was Derek Simpson. So Derek Simpson was second in on the team this past year in minutes, and he also was second in shots taken, I believe. This was something that it's kind of a litmus test for where the program is at right now because, I mean, Derek Simpson, he had a bit of regression this year. He shot 37% from the field last year, and this year he shot 30% from the field. So he dropped off quite a bit. What did you think of this move, and did it surprise you that Derek actually decided to enter the portal?
No, didn't really surprise me. We kind of have mentioned it a bunch of different times. I'm still sticking to that. That five players are going to enter the portal. No, the walk-ons don't count. So technically, I guess they're at five if you count them. But, no, I mean, where's his playing time next year? Let's be honest. Yep. Like, it's just not there. Dylan's going to play 30 plus minutes. Jeremiah Williams is going to play 30 plus minutes. Pykal usually carries four guards for the most part. So essentially what you're going to do is you're probably going to, number one, they're looking into guards in the portal. So you also kind of hinted that this was coming. And Jamichael Davis essentially does just about everything Derek does. I think Jamichael Davis is quicker. He's a better guard, better defender, I should say. And he's just kind of grasping the very basics of what he could be. His potential is like through the roof. Does it help that it's Ace's friend? Yeah, of course it does. Mm-hmm. Childhood friend, mind you. The two grew up in Tennessee, which I found out the other day. A lot of people don't know. They are Tennessee natives, Ace Bailey and Jamichael Davis. They're not Georgia natives, although they played there. Between Jamichael Davis essentially doing just about everything he does and having a higher ceiling, in my opinion, I think this was kind of the writing was on the wall. And like realistically, like I can't have a guard being the worst shooter in all of high major on this team next year. I'm not taking any risks if I'm Pykal and crew. Just because it's such an important season for the future of this program.
I have an absolutely crazy stat for you.
Oh, God.
So in Division I college basketball this past year, there was 1,035 players who took at least 250 field goal attempts. Where do you think Derek Simpson ranks in terms of field goal percentage of those 1,035 players?
I feel like you're going to say last, but I'm going to say like third to last, fourth to
last. Dead last.
Oh, yep. Okay.
He is.
See, I can't have that.
Worst shooter of any player who had that kind of volume this year. And that's not necessarily an indictment on Derek. He brings certain things to a team. You know, I think he elevated his defense this past year. He's one of the best free throw shooters that Pykal's ever had.
That's great.
But you can't shoot. There's literally only five players in all of Division I basketball who took at least 250 shots and didn't make at least one out of three. Mm-hmm. And Derek was one of them. And he was statistically, he had the lowest field goal percentage of any of them. So you just can't have a guy who's that poor of a shooter on your team. Cause it's not even just that he had poor shot selection, which he did. He took so many, I think over 40% of his shots were from the mid range. He also was really bad at the rim. He shot less than 50% at the rim. And he shot 27% from three. He's just proven himself not to be a great shooter. He is what he is. But you need to upgrade that position around Ace and Dylan next year. Like, you have to have a guy who can reliably hit an outside shot. And unfortunately, Derek has proven that he's not that guy. And it's not an indictment on him as a person. Like, he seems like a great guy. You know, he's done everything right in the program. He's put in a ton of effort. It sometimes just doesn't work out. Sometimes the best thing that could happen to somebody's career is a change of scenery, because maybe he connects better with a shooting coach at his next school and he's able to bump those shooting percentages up. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, I think he needs a change of scenery. And I think Rutgers is looking for an improvement out of that backup combo guard next year, because Dylan and don't get it twisted. Dylan and Jeremiah are going to be the starting guards next year. So
yeah.
They need an upgrade. They're probably going to focus on a guard who can shoot with that 3/4 guard behind Jeremiah and Dylan, and to play alongside Jamichael Davis. So we have a few names that I think are pretty interesting in terms of that, but we'll get to that eventually. Yeah. Is there anything else on the Derek departure? I'm sorry.
Don't say that.
on the Derek departure that we haven't really talked about already.
No, I mean, like, I see people on the board saying, like, he's the best ball handler. No, he's not. Jeremiah Williams is. He's the best defender. No, he's not. Jamichael Davis is. I'd argue Jeremiah Williams is probably that, too. Jamichael Davis is a better defender, too. I know people just like to look at steals, and that's, like, it's not how it works all the time. Unless you're voting for the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, then that's how it works. I'm just saying, but no, his numbers offensively just cancel out anything else he's done. Like, his free throw percentage is great. That's awesome. That's cool. But he's shooting the worst in shooting percentage in all of high major basketball. Whether you can use any statistic you want. Like, this isn't like we're just pulling this one out to like help our argument. Like, Effective field goal percentage, awful. Worst shooting percentage on the team, awful. Not good at layups, awful. That's like a guard's basic, like, that's all I need out of my guard. I need you to be able to hit layups, hit a jumper here and there, and you can't do either. I can't use you. I'm sorry, but and this team as a whole, don't get me wrong, they're very bad offensively. But he was probably the culprit for a solid chunk of it. So it's really hard to say that, but it is what it is, and that's the truth. And did he have more assists than some guys? Cool, but that doesn't make him a better ball handler. Like, at the end of the day, he also had top two in turnovers, top three in turnovers, whatever he was. But yeah, it is what it is. We kind of saw this coming down the line eventually. He started seeing a little bit of a minutes decrease as well the past couple games. He also lost his starting spot for the Maryland game. So you shouldn't be super surprised by this one. Is he a Jersey guy? Yes. Did Pyko like him out of high school a lot? Yes. But there's too much riding on the line next year to have him on this team, in my opinion. And everyone keeps saying A-10 level, everyone I keep talking to, which is probably about right. And don't get me wrong, could have a good career there. So we'll see what he does over the next two seasons.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, you know, we'll see how it ends up shaking out for him. But I don't think there's any ill will between either party. It's just, like we said, sometimes it doesn't work out. Change of scenery might be for the best.
Yeah.
Speaking of changes of scenery, Antoine Wolfolk also announced that he is entering the portal today as well. He's a guy who Pyko, you know, he was talking him up as the most improved offensive player on the team all offseason. He was a guy that, you know, right out of the gate, he was getting between, you know, 15 and 24 minutes a game to start the season. Mm-hmm. And then as the opponents got harder and the level of difficulty went up, he got less and less minutes, and there was points in the season where he was going 2 weeks without even touching the court. So I think you can kind of see the writing on the wall there. He gave us some really good minutes against Nebraska, where he had 9 points and 9 rebounds in just 18 minutes. But other than that, you know, over the last 2 months of the season, he was barely on the court. What do you think of this move, and did you see this one coming?
I meant to pull up the stats before when we were talking about Derek, but here's just Antoine's game logs. Yeah, this was, again, writing on the wall. Lathan Somerville's coming in. Lathan Somerville's probably not my starting center. I'm probably going to go get one from Rutgers. And that's kind of obvious, I feel like, because it sounds like Cliff is going to go elsewhere too. But we'll tail that for a little bit later in the podcast. But for the most part, like, his numbers have decreased significantly, minutes-wise at least. And he wasn't really good out there at all. Like, I know they hyped him up as, like, this Pike's got to stop saying stuff in the preseason, number one. Between that, Ralph Agee last year or 2 years ago was, like, the best rebounder on the team. He said there's something else, but they're going to score 80 points per game this year, and that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, he thrives versus bad competition. I know people jokingly, and I think some people are actually serious about him, like, going to switch to football. That's not happening, obviously.
Yeah.
He's going to enter the portal. He'll have options too. Like, he'll drop down a level, and I think at his size, he'd do good at one of those little smaller schools that has those smaller big men that are usually 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", even. But yeah, he's zero offensive skill set. Another big man on the team that has, like, no hands, and I don't get it. These guys, like, get the ball thrown to them or dish to them down low, and it's just like a fumble every single time. Like, it's ironic because this one played football and was a tight end, but Emmanuel Ogbo started taking his minutes, and he wasn't good either. Now, did we see him play in 18 minutes against Nebraska, like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Not even 2 weeks. Yeah, it's close to 2 weeks ago, week ago, whatever. Yeah, he saw a nice little increase in minutes. He actually played pretty well, but it's, again, Somerville's my backup big man. I'm probably bringing in a big man. There's no minutes for these guys, and that's just the way it is. Like, hey, do you want to be our third string starting center this year, or do you want to be in the portal and go start at, like, I don't know, Charlotte? So it's tough. He is from the Midwest, so I could see, like, a Kent State or, like, someone like that kind of going after him. Bowling Green, maybe that's the trade-off for the player to be named later in the Julian Campenny. Deal. So who knows? I mean, nothing crazy though. Like, he's just, it wasn't good.
Yeah, it didn't work out. You kind of expected more development out of him this year, but it just never showed up, which is a shame because I thought he had some really good skill sets in terms of as a ball handler, he was actually pretty good. There was plenty of times where he, you know, was able to get a rebound and then just start leading the break down the court. Unfortunately, he had great footwork. It's unfortunate because I just don't think he had the mass to really. You saw him get kind of bodied in the paint by some of the bigger center prospects in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah,
he didn't really have a well-rounded offensive game, but he did have the physical tools that you look for in terms of, you know, a guy who, you know, might not have a position at the Big Ten level. You know, he's a big guy. He's nimble, athletic, but he didn't really have the touch of a mid-range to outside shot. So it just didn't come together. Another unfortunate, but you know, this is, I talked about this earlier on one of the Discords where it's just kind of like Pikiell has put his CEO cap on since the season ended. And he is now, you know, he's doing some layoffs, and it's just a healthy part of any business, if you want to call it that, where tough decisions have to get made, and the guy who gets the big paychecks has to, you know, make those decisions. And it's not easy. Like Pikiell, trust me, I'm sure that these talks are killing Pikiell, because this is not the type of coach he wants to be. He wants to have his guys 4 or 5 years, develop them, and play experienced guys. And sometimes, you know, the world changes and you need to adapt, and that's what he's doing right now. Because 4 or 5 years ago, no way Bullfalk or Simpson would be leaving. He'd be developing those guys for another year, but you have a very unique situation next year that you have to capitalize on. And these are just kind of the decisions you have to make. Who are the names left that you would really be keeping a close eye on for decisions in the next 24 hours?
One's the super obvious one in Mawat Mag. Writing's on the wall. It's been there for a while. People for some reason don't want to believe it, but it's true. He sat out so he could maintain his health while entering the transfer portal. That's his plan. It's only a matter of time before that one leaks out. It's already been mentioned, like we said, on several Discords, specifically Troy Donovan's, who someone said we didn't credit or something, but we did, like, multiple times. That's one to keep an eye on. And then Cliff is the one. Probably going to happen. Rutgers fans are probably going to be very upset. And we've said it before. St. John's is the team that keeps getting mentioned because his agent runs their whole collective, basically. Or just runs the NIL for the basketball program. They have like a GM that runs NIL for their program. It's very weird. They do something different. But I don't know if you really need a GM, considering like you have all that money from Vitamin Water. But that's besides the point. It sounds like Cliff is going to enter the portal. It is what it is. I think you can find a better big man that fits the scheme next year. Now, finding a better big man is going to cost you a lot of money, for starters. Number two, it is going to be hard to replace Cliff's capabilities and everything he's done for the team. He was great for 4 years. But that's just the name of the game nowadays. It's just people are going to enter the portal. People you never think would ever enter the portal are going to do it now. I never thought Mulcahy was going to enter. I thought he was a Pike guy through and through. He loved Pike, still does. But he entered the portal late. And Cliff, again, I think you can find a big man out there that could replace him. It's not going to be easy, don't get me wrong, but I think there's going to be a guy out there that could fit really well on the court next to Ace, next to Dylan, next to Jeremiah, Griffiths, or you probably go get a four. But I think that's going to be your – we said it in my 3-2-1 article recently, or we did it on here too, 3-2-1. Number one priority is a big man, a big man, a big man, especially because it seems Cliff is not coming back. Did I think he was going to enter the portal? Probably not, but now it sounds like he's going to declare/enter the portal.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Portal and do both and weigh out every single option possible. So,
well, Richie, that's why you're a professional, because let's dive right into that. We got four targets of guys that we've either heard Rutgers is showing interest in, Rutgers has shown interest in the past, or the dots make sense to connect. So the first one is Josh Cohen. So this is a guy who went to Bergen Catholic. He was in the portal last year. Rutgers showed interest in him. Mm-hmm. He previously was at St. Francis of Pennsylvania. He ended up at UMass. Rutgers kind of fell off with him because they couldn't really commit to any kind of minutes allocation or a starting role, so he went elsewhere.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who at UMass, he had he averaged 16 points a game, almost 7 rebounds a game, half a block a game, 1 steal a game. He was a 69% free throw shooter, nice. And he shot 54% from the field. I thought one thing that was interesting, I think he took 2 3-pointers his whole career up till this year. And this past year, he was averaging 1 a game, which is kind of cool to see. Yeah, he shot two three-pointers in his 3 years at St. Francis. Took 32 this past year and hit 34% of them, which just means he's a guy that if he's out at the top of the key and his defender's not on him, he can knock down an open shot, which is all you kind of really need out of your center. If the defender's giving you that, you take it. You don't put up a contested three unless you're at 1 second left in the shot clock, which you never want to really be in the first place. But regardless, this is a kid I like a lot. I think he's got a really advanced offensive game. What are you hearing about Josh Cohen, and do you think this is a good fit for Rutgers?
It's going to be interesting. I think he's a great fit personally. Someone that could stretch the floor. You see what they do to guys like that can't shoot. Like even if you're a big man, like this guy's not even a big man. Look at what they do to Josh Giddey in OKC. The big man's or whoever's guarding him is literally playing in the paint while the guy has the ball at the top of the key. Like it's like go ahead, do it. Like we know you're not going to hit it. So having a guy that's capable of hitting that three is huge. He's more athletic than he looks, than I give him credit for. He could kind of do a lot of different things. And if you go to his game logs real quick, I don't know if you could pull that up on there. Go to his game logs from last year. Obviously this year his numbers took a slight dip, but that's what happens when you go up a level in competition. I'm looking at a 40-point game, a 30-point game, a 28-point game. Like 40 points versus Hawaii, who was Q2 last year, is insane.
Yeah, who's this 30-point game?
Miami, who was
in the Final Four team last year.
Yeah,
like, he put up 30-9, 10-13 from free throw.
He might have made the finals. And he's done it on multiple occasions. Played Ohio State last year. If you look at that one, that's somewhere in there. 18-10.
18, yeah.
So for all those that say he's going to it's going to drop his numbers and it's going to be a big jump in comp. Where? He's doing it against Q1, Q2 teams right here.
Yep.
Butler, 18-7-3. St. Bonaventure, didn't Rutgers play last year or was that the year before?
I don't think so.
21-7-1. Like, they're losing these games. Don't get me wrong. Their team's not good, but he's putting up numbers against them. Mm-hmm. And this year, his numbers were almost not identical, but they took a slight dip. But he still put up
big jump in competition, too, going from
the NEC to the
NEC to the A-10.
A-10's good. A-10's good basketball. And look at some of the numbers he's still putting up. Like, I'm very impressed with him. 19-7 versus West Virginia right there. That's a high major team. Who made the tournament for them? Fordham? No. ECU? I don't know who made it. Either way, like 19-9, 4-6, 14-16, 27, 21-13. Like, the guy can score. And I'm going to get a big man that can actually score, like, and have post moves?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Sign me up.
Yeah. This is a guy who is very light on his feet. He can kind of do a little bit of everything inside the paint. He's just a very skilled offensive player. I love to land this kid.
Perfect fit. I shouldn't say perfect, but a very good fit.
So that's one name to keep a close eye on. I said Bergen Catholic earlier. He did not go to Bergen Catholic. He actually went to CBA. That was my bad.
Christian Brown.
Next up is a guy that we should be familiar with. He played high school ball with Paul Mulcahy at St. Gil's, Bernard. Mm-hmm. We played him this first game of the season, Zach Martini. So I thought he was a big man, but he's a four. Princeton kind of played a small ball lineup all year. He's listed at 6'7", 235. He's really good from most areas of the court. He shot almost 38% from three this past year. He was an integral part of Princeton's success the last 2 years. What are you hearing about Zach Martini?
So he's in a weird situation where the Ivy Leagues don't let you play more than 4 years. It's basically if you've redshirted it, or in most cases for a lot of these kids, the 2020 season was canceled due to COVID. So he hasn't entered the portal officially yet, but he's expected to enter the portal because it's your 4 years and you're out at the Ivies. he's a very good player though in his own right, and I think he Gil St. Bernard's connections to Rutgers, New Jersey, blah blah blah, all that stuff. I don't even know what he did against Rutgers this year. I think he actually had 10 and 2, so he's not going to get you a lot of rebounding. He does have games where he does, but he's a good scorer, and that's all you kind of need. This team is going to be insane next year with offense. That's what they're looking to. They're looking to add as much offensive firepower around these guys as possible. He's a good outside shooter, I think, right? I think I'm looking at the number. Yeah, 38% from three, which is solid. Nothing crazy, but it's enough that can stretch the floor. This is like a stretch four that, like, Rutgers has fans have dreamed of on the message boards. I think he'd be a good fit. And he's a Jersey guy. It makes sense. Princeton guy, so you know he's probably a good culture fit. Coming from an Ivy League, and Henderson runs a hell of a program over there, so... I think he'd be a pretty damn good fit.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he looked good against Rutgers. I know that we were expecting a big mismatch inside with him versus Cliff. Mm-hmm. I thought I wouldn't say he held his own. I just thought Princeton's kind of schemed Cliff out of the game, especially when we went down by, double digits for a good portion of the second half. This would be a kid I would love to have as, sixth, seventh man on the team.
Yeah.
Can knock down an open shot, has the size Pike looks for. I wouldn't say he's got necessarily like the foot speed to be a good defender in the Big Ten, but if you utilize him kind of the way that his skill set is best used, I think he could be a very effective spot up shooter in the Big Ten.
Should also be noted two different things. Number one, he played for the New York Wrens AAU program.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, I know a couple guys that are coming over from there. Specifically named Dylan Harper. That's a big one. I had the other one in my head and I lost it for a sec. NCAA tournament experience. I mean, Princeton did go on a hell of a run last year, and having that experience at the next level is invaluable. It's huge to have that because you've been there, you've been at that stage, and they've been not just at that stage, they made a nice little run last year.
Yeah, yep.
So,
yeah, would love to land him. That is somebody we hear they have reached out to, TBD to determine how much interest Rutgers actually is showing in him, or if it's just, we're contacting a bunch of guys.
Plus the local kid. I feel like they kind of just always show interest in the locals.
Yep, definitely.
Or at least say, hey, what's up? Like, how's it going? How much money?
Exactly. The next one up is an intriguing name. He's a guard who Rutgers recruited heavily out of high school. We're actually his first Division I basketball offer. Mm-hmm. This is Bensley Joseph. He's a combo guard out of Arlington, Massachusetts. He's in his second year with Miami. Another guy got some tourney experience. He went to the Final Four last year as a member of the Hurricanes. This is a guy who is a pretty good outside shooter in his own right. In his career, he averages over 2.5 threes, 3-point attempts a game, and he's making almost 38% of them. You see a big jump here in this year. He's shooting 4.5 threes a game. He's making 36% of those. Last year, he shot 2.5, made almost 40%. His first year, he almost made 40% of his threes too.
Yeah.
75% free throw shooter. He's not offering much in terms of a rebound or on the rebounding front, but this guy is the kind of shooter that this program could use. I'm not impressed by his size, but what are you hearing about Bensley Joseph?
If you don't search his name on Twitter, whatever you do, Miami fans just aren't fond of him, whatsoever. And it's fine. It's mostly because of his turnover numbers. He has a couple. There's a couple games in there where it's not the prettiest in the world. But Rutgers showed a lot of interest in him in the past. He obviously went to Miami out of high school, but he was Rutgers. Rutgers was his first offer, and they he's played for Expressions, I believe, which is the former Gavin Griffith's AAU program, who they had a pretty good connection with. He knows if TJ Thompson knows that area better than probably anyone. So there's no word if they're going to pursue yet. This is just a name that literally just like announced he's intending to enter the portal today. I could see them reaching out for the sole fact that they know him. They had a great relationship with him already. They were in it for the long haul with him. He's also pretty close, pretty close with Geo Baker. So that always helps. Yeah, and he went on he took a visit to campus like almost immediately after the offer, I believe, or is it right before the right after the offer, and the connections are there now. Has he played well? But is he willing to come off the bench? I think that's a pretty damn good bench player, maybe a sixth man. You could even argue because he has games. Like look what he did against UNC. Was that last year? Was that this year? It just popped up.
UNC. Sorry, he did have a pretty awesome run to end the season.
Yeah.
We just kind of look at the last, numbers. I mean, Miami lost 10 straight to close the year. So that's one thing in its own right. But if you look at, you know, his awesome last month of the season, you know, he's scoring double digits almost every game. He's shooting a ton of threes and hitting them at a really high percentage. Mm-hmm. I think I did the math earlier from the Clemson game to the Florida State game. He shot like 50% from three to close out the year on pretty high volume.
On a bad team, 21 against.
What'd you say?
On a bad team, mind you. So give him a good team and then see what happens.
Yeah, he went into Chapel Hill and, you know, against a number one seed in the tournament, he scored 21 points on 7 of 12 shooting, 5 of 8 from deep, 6 rebounds, 5 assists.
Assists? Like he does it all almost. It's just the turnovers worry me a little bit, but. Yeah. Who better to coach you in that aspect than, I don't know, a staff that has a head coach that was a point guard, an assistant coach that was a point guard, and another assistant coach that was a point guard. All three played at the high major level. Or George Washington's mid-major. Whatever. You know what I meant.
Yep.
Are they mid? Yeah, are they low? Mid?
They would be mid-major.
We'll call them mid. Yeah, it's fair.
So that's another name to watch. The last name we have for you right now is a guard out of New Jersey who has a younger brother who's actually being trained by Geo Baker. He's a class of 2026 kid who's lighting it up, currently a sophomore. As the person we're talking about is Jordan Durkak. His younger brother's name is Aiden Durkak. He's from Colonia, New Jersey. He's listed at 6'5", 205. Mm-hmm. This is a kid who he averaged 17 points a game this past year, on 46%, almost 47% shooting. The big caveat here is he only shot 27.5% from deep, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, over 2 steals a game. What are you hearing about this guy, and is this a legit target for Rutgers?
Yeah, I would say so. He kind of just has all types of basketball genes in his family. His dad actually is vice president for major gifts at the United States Olympics and Paralympics. So
interesting.
His dad also played for Florida International University. And his younger brother is one of the better players in the state currently as well. So there's a ton of NBA stuff there. They're Colonia, so they're not too far. They're kind of down the street, Colonia natives. So, I mean, it would make a lot of sense. It's a sense to go after him. I mean, his three-point shooting is not the best in the world. He does have – he's a true shooter where he's going to have his good moments. He's going to have his bad moments. You could see just based off those stat lines. Like, there's some good ones. There's some really bad ones. But that's the name of the game when it comes to shooting specifically. Obviously, like I said, not a great three-point shooter. But does a little bit of other stuff too. He's got good vision, it seems like. Hits the boards here and there. But overall, like it seems like a decent player, Jersey connections. And if you can eye on him, you probably have a really good shot of landing the younger Durkak, who just won GMC player of the year or something like that. His younger brother's got like a shit ton of points. I don't even know, to be honest. He's like leading all of GMC in shooting this year.
Yeah. I think the younger brother averaged almost 20 points a game, for Colonia this past year, has the connection with Gio.
Oh, yeah.
Could see it happening.
Forgot about that.
He's not a great defender. That would be the big knock on him for Pykele's system. I do think that when looking into transfer guys, Pykele will improve your defense, whoever you are. Yeah. If you're coming in as a defense first guy, I wouldn't expect a big jump in offensive production, though. So I think I'd rather take a guy who's got the offensive game, needs a little bit of work around the edges on defense, and has the athletic prerequisites to maybe become a better defender than to take the guy who is a great defender but doesn't really have much of an offensive game, which is, I feel like, typically the kind of guys that Rutgers ends up recruiting under Steve Pykele. So that would be my take on it. And I also want to put the caveat out there that just like Rutgers, I don't expect to be anywhere near done with the portal announcements. You're going to see throughout the week a lot of guys enter the portal that maybe we weren't expecting, that Rutgers might have a shot with, that Rutgers has a pre-existing connection with. I do think when all is said and done, Rutgers will land 2 to 4 really productive guys to add into this roster next year. I think it's just, we're just going to need to be patient and just kind of keep track of everything as it comes, because they're going to keep coming. I have no doubt in that. But this is just kind of where we're at on day one of the portal being open.
Yeah, it's crazy. Dirkak, who I forgot to mention also, NEC Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. And his younger sister is also Colonia's all-time leading scorer in both men's and women's. She's has over like 2,000 points this year, or in her career. Like, they're just, I don't know what they do, how they know how to shoot, but every single one of them knows how to shoot. It's, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a family of ballers. So maybe, yeah. I think she's going to UMass, right?
I believe so, something like that.
Yeah. Also works with Geo Baker as well, just to put that out there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all we got on the portal front. We will have at least one or two more pods this week going over portal stuff, because I expect more movement on Rutgers' end, and I expect more names to come out that Rutgers is showing interest in as well. The last thing I got today is we have been hyping up these gift cards to be given away. As you notice here, I have everyone's names from YouTube comments and from Apple Podcasts at the bottom here.
I believe you.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't want you to lose that.
Yeah. So, okay. Here you'll see everybody who is on Apple has two entries. So we're going to spin this. You can't win twice. So if your name gets called twice by some stroke of luck, we're just going to spin it again.
Imagine.
The two people who win will each win a $50 gift card. Please reach out to us because we don't necessarily have your contact information. Richie's email is ruRichie@gmail.com. That's letter R, letter U, Richie@gmail.com. So if you are a winner, contact him and we will get that gift card sent out to you. So let's get the first winner up here.
It's a lot louder than I thought it would be.
Sorry. All right. So the first winner is SS Cornav 1 from YouTube. So if your username is SSCornav1, congratulations, you have won the first $50 gift card from Homefield Apparel. Next up, we have SackAttack77. That is your review name on Apple Podcasts. SackAttack77, reach out to Richie. But congratulations to the two winners. We will have another contest coming up before the spring game. We're not going to say what's being given away, but I think it's a pretty cool prize that you guys might like. I'm going to stop sharing this now. Rich, we've covered a lot of recruiting stuff today. What else is there that we haven't touched on that you wanted to talk about today?
Football pro days in like a little over a week, so that's coming up. I feel like there's something else I want to talk about and I can't remember what it was. Bracket madness. Rutgers might not be in the tournament, but you could still win some super cool prizes. Look at this, man, we're doing giveaways like all the time.
Yeah, let's
now.
Let's get that prize up on the screen.
Look at these prizes. Look at this. You can win a Gavin Griffiths jersey, or I'll even like extend it and wait till they put like Bailey and Harper on the site, and I'll buy it for you then. But free Rutgers jersey of your choice for first place. A Dylan Harper signed trading card also comes with first place. And a free year of listening to yours truly on the Night Report for a whole year. You don't have to pay a single dime.
That's not the podcast. Place. That is the website, yeah. Just to clarify.
Yeah, the message boards. You're going to have to. You won't really listen to me, I guess, but whatever. No, I mean. Second place, partnering up with our boys at Night and Day. I shouldn't say boys, it's just one boy. But we're partnering up with Night and Day again. We're going to give away a t-shirt courtesy of Night and Day of your choice. They have a ton of different options, all kinds of stuff. And you also get 6 months free of Rivals. And then third place, you get 3 months free of Rivals premium. So some pretty cool gifts. If you want to enter, it's simple as going to our social media platforms. And it's somewhere on here. I've been tweeting it out like once a day. So just click the link here and it will bring you right to your right to this site or this article or whatever that I put together. Just type in your Yahoo email. You don't really need to have a Yahoo email. You could sign in with any other email. And that's basically it. We already have 100 plus entries. So sign up. And it's just as simple as entering your bracket in there. You're probably going to use Yahoo or one of the other sites anyway to put a bracket together. So why not try to win something for free out of it? Free entries, you can probably make as many as you want. I think I might have limited it to one, but just go make a new email. Do it again. That's our prize for March Madness. Woo.
Yeah, we got a ton of giveaways, more to come. Really appreciate everybody who has listened, rated, and reviewed. They all really do make a huge difference.
Yeah.
If you haven't already, do that. It'd be really well appreciated. It helps a ton of people find the show. If you haven't told a friend or brought it up in civil conversation, do that. We appreciate it a lot. But we'll be back in your feed sometime this week because the news will not stop. There will be more crazy stuff happening. And with our luck, it'll happen right after the end of this episode gets taped, which seems to be the way things typically happen.
Yep.
But for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.